Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
And thank you for being in church today. And I'll also add my voice and on behalf of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration for all mothers, happy mothers, amen. I said amen. All right. And you may be seated. So I want to find out how many mothers are here, how many wives are here. We want to acknowledge you. If you're a mother, if you are a wife, can you rise to your feet so that we, on behalf of your children, celebrate you? And can you put your hands together for them, everyone? Hallelujah. Keep clapping for them. For just a few seconds, let's celebrate the mothers and the wives. Hallelujah. Keep clapping for them. We dedicate this song to you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You tell me everything, everything.
From us to you.
I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life. Yeah. There isn't anything or anyone that I could be, and it just wouldn't feel right. If I didn't have you by my side, oh, you were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray.
Put your hands together, let's celebrate our mothers. From us to you, on behalf of all your children.
No one else can be what you have been to me.
And your firstborn sons, your husbands.
You will always be the girl in my life.
All right. Oh, clap for all mothers. So this morning we've given you raps. And I don't know whether as the song was playing, you were thinking that, oh, if the husbands can do a little Holy Ghost smooch with you in the house of the Lord. I mean, I can imagine Dr. Kwaku at it, you know. But it's a great thing. And today we honor you on behalf of all your children. And by your children, I'm talking about your biological children, your spiritual children, adopted children, those born, and those yet to be born. Amen. We embrace you as special gifts from God to us. And we want to thank you for all the love, all the protection, and all the guidance that we've received from you. And I'm speaking on behalf of the children. Now, we know that a mother's job is really well cut out for her. It's a very difficult thing to be a mother, and it calls for a lot of sacrifices. And today I want to thank you for all the sacrifices you've made for your children and the sacrifices you continue to make for them. We pray that God will bless you abundantly and that he'll continue to deal graciously and favorably with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So at the tail end of the service, we're going to pray for all mothers. And if I forget, somebody should remind me. And this morning, I want to jump straight into the Word of God. And the title of today's sermon is The Grace for Motherhood. The Grace for motherhood. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 31, and we want to read from verse 35. In the book of Proverbs, from verse 10 to verse 31, you will find an account of who a virtuous woman is. A virtuous woman is multifaceted, and she plays different roles. She is a wife. She is a worker, industrious for that matter. But she is also a mother. And in verse 25 of Proverbs 31, running all the way to verse 29, we see the Bible talking about certain qualities that you find with a virtuous woman, and by extension, you will find of a mother. It says she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We are very glad to be right here at the Restoration Center. Thank you for your presence here. We know you're here because when we come like this, we gather in your name. Thank you for the special day we are commemorating. It is Mother's Day. Thank you, Father, that you are not only our Heavenly Father, but you are our Heavenly Mother. Thank you also, Father, for blessing us with these special gifts called mothers. Thank you for the roles that they've played in our lives. Thank you for using them to bring us to where we are currently in this journey called life. And this morning, as I go into your word, I pray in the name of Jesus, may it come forth and may it accomplish the purpose for which you're sending it. Grant us understanding, grant us insight. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So in the scripture that I read, you see certain qualities and features of a virtuous woman, and I dare say of who a real mother is. And the Young and Focused Church shared with us some of these features. So you see in verse 21, it talks about strength and dignity. 25, I beg your pardon. Strength and dignity. These are two of the qualities of a mother. Strength, dignity. And it goes on to say, she laughs without fear of the future. That means she has great expectations and great hopes for the future and what lies ahead. Verse 26. It talks about how she speaks her words with wisdom. That's another quality of a mother, of a real mother and a virtuous woman. She is full of wisdom, and she gives instructions with kindness. She gives instructions. That means she gives guidance. And I like that, with kindness. A real mother, a true mother, a virtuous mother is full of kindness. 27. She carefully watches everything in her household. It speaks of somebody who has great perception and foresight and suffers nothing from laziness. There's no real mother who is lazy. A real mother works very, very hard. And then it continues. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. And then there are many virtuous and capable women. Verse 29. So there again, you can see that a real mother is virtuous. And then also she is very capable. So these, ladies and gentlemen, are all characteristics and traits and qualities of who a virtuous mother really is. And I want to say and submit to us this morning that as a mother, to be able to function and exhibit all these qualities, it calls for grace. Amen. So, as I share with you the grace of motherhood or the grace for motherhood, I am trying to establish a very important truth that to be an effective and a successful mother, there is a certain grace that you need. And if you have done well as a mother, it is because you have walked in a certain grace for motherhood. If you haven't done so well as a mother, it is because missing out of your life is that grace for motherhood. And as I go into today's sermon, I'm trusting God that He will open your eyes and your understanding to appreciate the different graces that are needed in order to carry out the role of a mother. So what is motherhood? Motherhood is simply the state or the experience of being a mother. Can I have an amen? And it has to do with caring for and raising up a child or children. Let me be quick to add that when we talk about children, there are different types of children. There are biological children. There are adopted children. You can also talk about spiritual children. And these are like children that you bring up in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call them spiritual children because they are not your physical children. Then also, we can talk about children that you mentor. All right? You help to bring them up in. So maybe you have a mother at the workplace, somebody who mentors you, and somebody who teaches you the ropes and helps you to do well in whatever your profession or line of business is. So there are different types of mothers, and motherhood involves caring for and raising all these children. Amen. So that's what motherhood is. Now, when we talk about grace, grace is divine assistance or guidance. Grace is divine assistance or guidance. And anytime you hear that word divine, what should come to your mind is God. All right? So when we talk about divine assistance, we are talking about assistance and guidance that is coming from God. So putting these two definitions together, when we talk about grace for motherhood, we are talking about the divine assistance and guidance that a mother needs to be able to carry out well her motherly responsibilities. I'll take it again. Grace for motherhood is the divine assistance and guidance that a mother needs to be able to carry out well her motherly responsibilities. Did you get that? Should I run through it again? Grace for motherhood is the divine assistance and guidance that a mother needs to be able to carry out well her motherly responsibilities. I think that you should have it by now. Amen? Two facts about motherhood I want to touch on. Number one, motherhood is a divine responsibility and calling. Write it down if you please. Motherhood is a divine responsibility and calling. In other words, it comes from God. If you are a mother, understand that you are operating under a divine responsibility and calling, that God Himself has tasked you with that responsibility of a mother, and it is a calling. And what that should tell us, ladies and gentlemen, is that motherhood is more than a biological function. You're not just a mother because you've given birth. As a matter of fact, there are people who have given birth, but they are not very good mothers. So if being a mother is just about giving birth and having offsprings, then I dare say that there are quite a lot of mothers who have failed. But motherhood is more than that. It's more than a biological function. It is a divine responsibility and calling. The second fact I want to establish about motherhood is that because motherhood is a divine calling, it requires more than natural strength and ability. Because motherhood is a divine calling, it requires more than natural strength and ability. It requires grace. Because motherhood is a divine calling, it requires more than natural strength and ability. It requires grace. Hallelujah. Every calling, ladies and gentlemen, comes with challenges, difficulties, obstacles, and all kinds of barriers to surmount. If God has called you and has put you in a certain place or position, one thing that I can guarantee you is that you will have a lot of challenges. You will have obstacles to deal with. You are going to have mountains to climb. You are going to have to cross many rivers. And you're going to have to walk across several desert lands. So a divine calling comes with a lot of challenges and difficulties. And to be able to overcome those challenges and difficulties, you need more than natural strength and ability. Thank God for your natural strength. Thank God for your natural ability. But there is a place that you get to when you realize that what I am contending with is beyond my natural strength and ability. In Zechariah chapter 4, God gave a prophecy to Zerubbabel, who had a divine call and mandate to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. And the word of the Lord that came to Zerubbabel was this. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Anytime the spirit appears in an equation, you are looking at grace. Hallelujah. So much so that later on in the prophecy, it said that Zerubbabel will complete the building, put in the final piece, the final cornerstone, and it will be accompanied by shouts of grace, grace. Hallelujah. So the message, the prophetic message to Zerubbabel was this. You have an enormous task ahead of you to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. This responsibility is not going to take might or power. That means your physical strength and ability. It is going to take the Spirit of God, and it's going to take the grace of God. Now, motherhood, as I've already established, is a divine calling. And I did also say that a divine calling comes with challenges and difficulties and obstacles. How many can remember that I said that? So then I am moving on to establish this truth, that without the grace of God, there is no mother who can succeed in becoming a successful or an effective mother. Without the grace of God, a mother will buckle under the stress and under the strain of motherhood. You'll not be able to stand. You need the grace of God to do well, to flourish, and to succeed as a mother. And talking about the grace for motherhood, there are different types of grace that we can talk about. And because we have very little time left to go, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the list. By all means, it's not an exhaustive list. I believe that there are other things you can talk about. But at least there are five types of grace that every mother needs to be successful as a mother. May I say at this point that, yes, I am talking about motherhood. But I don't want anybody to feel that what I'm talking about today does not apply to you or is not relevant to you. Yes, there are mothers here today. And remember that you are a mother when you're taking care of your own children or other children, somebody else's children, adopted children, spiritual children, children that you are mentoring. That makes you a mother. But there is something that all of us here today have in common. All of us have mothers. Is there anybody here who doesn't have a mother? Now, you may not know your mother, but it doesn't mean that you don't have one. Everybody has a mother. So whatever I'm sharing with you about motherhood is relevant to you. And I want you, whether you are male or female, to embrace it, because it will help you to understand certain things about motherhood. So there are at least five types of grace that are needed for motherhood. The first one, and I'm going to give you the list and then the scriptures as well, so that if for any reason I am beaten by time, You can have something to refer to, and you can run your own checks when you get back home. The first one, grace to trust God and to believe that He will perfect what concerns you. Grace to trust God and to believe that He will perfect what concerns you. Ask your neighbor, I can't see you writing down anything. Is there a problem? I ask you to ask your neighbor. So ask, because I can't hear anybody asking. Your neighbor is writing. All right. Or some of you, your own is that somebody will write the notes and then you pick it up later on. So, Ankasa. And I'm sure somebody will also tell me that, oh, usually when it's when we get back, when they post the message on the platform, then I take my time and then write. Whoop, what? I like recording. Hey, people. So what is the first type of grace for motherhood? What did you write? Grace to trust God and to believe that He will perfect what concerns you. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 1 to 18. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 1 to 18. Write that down. So I'll take them one after the other. Wherever I get to, I stop. The second type of grace for motherhood that is needed is grace to nurture and to protect. Nurture is spelled N-U-R-T-U-R-E. N-U-R-T-U-R-E. Grace to nurture and to protect. Exodus chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. You can read about that grace. Exodus chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. So what is the second type of grace that you need? Thank you very much. The third type of grace that is needed for motherhood is grace to lead with strength and wisdom. Grace to lead with strength and wisdom. Judges chapter 5 verse 7. Grace to lead with strength and wisdom. Judges chapter 5 and verse 7. What is the third type of grace that you need, everybody? Grace to lead with strength and wisdom. Number 4. Grace to endure loss, pain, or disappointment and still trust God. Grace to endure loss, pain, or disappointment and still trust God. And women, your cloth is very nice. Yeah, it's very, very nice. All right? Very, very nice. I like it. Is what? That's their field. They are good at finding things that are nice. Do you see? All right. Will you organize some for us? Or we shouldn't wear? Pardon? We'll wear a different type of cloth. But you don't want us to share in your glory. Take your cloth. The fourth type of grace is grace to endure loss, pain, or disappointment and still trust God. And you can read John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. John 19, 25 to 27. And then the last type of grace is grace to sow spiritual seeds and raise a godly heritage. Grace to sow spiritual seeds and raise a godly heritage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Grace to sow spiritual seeds and raise a godly heritage. Amen. All right. So, let's see what we can do. And let's start off with the first type of grace needed for motherhood, which is the grace to trust God and believe that He will perfect what concerns you. 1 Samuel chapter 1, reading from verse 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuf in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuf of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. I wish him good luck. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. And each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Next verse. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. Verse 5. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. Who hadn't given her children? Who? So who gives children? And so if you don't have them, what does it mean? What it means is that the Lord has not yet given them to you. But by the power that is in the name of Jesus, I declare that you will have them. I said, you will have them. Hallelujah. So expect the visitation of the Lord that will bless you with the children that you desire. Somebody is receiving twins right now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. But there are also instances when a person may not have a child. And the reason she doesn't have is because God hasn't given a child. So the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So here we can understand the reason why Hannah did not have children. It is because the Lord had kept her from having children. It continues, next verse. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. And each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Somebody say, oh. Verse 7-8. Oh. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? Mr. Elkanah, you don't know what you are saying. You don't know what you are saying at all. You said just because you don't have children. Just because? How dare you use that expression, just? It means a lot. Then look at him again. You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? I do not think that Hannah answered this question. But in her head, what did she say? No, it's not better. It's not better at all. Very fantastic. And I want to say, and you've heard me say many times before, that I really want us to be very sensitive and empathize with those who are believing God for children who don't have them yet. Be very sensitive and be very kind in how you relate with such people. And I always say it, that mommy and I know what it feels like. And there are some things, if you have never experienced it, you may never understand. You'll never understand the feeling. Because we come from cultures where as soon as you marry, there is great expectation. They are expecting that within 1 month, you should be reporting. You should start vomiting and we should see certain signs. You'll be tolerated and accommodated 1 year. But after 1 year, quata, 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 2 years, if there's no sign of a child, then the pressure begins. It's not an easy thing. And I always explain that children are not sold in supermarkets. If you like, when we close, go to Chinatown. They've opened a new one at Afariwa. You go there. When you go there, ask any of the shop attendants, please, can you take me to the segment where they sell children or babies? They will take you to where they are dolls. But that's not what you're looking for. And you'll not find a live child in any supermarket. If it were possible, you'd have found it in a China store. Because they are able to make virtually everything. They are not sold there. They are not. So I am charging all of us to exhibit sensitivity and empathy and great compassion for anybody who doesn't yet have a child. And I'm saying again that those who don't have, by the grace of God, you will have. Amen. Where were we? Verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 10. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. 11. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, or O Lord of hosts, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. All I want is to have that experience, that everybody will say that I had a son. Once I have produced one and I've carried him in my arms for a little while, I'm okay to give him back to you. That is how desperate she was. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. I would love to see Samuel and the length of the hair that he had. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. 13. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought that she had been drinking. Retrakakra, not water. 14. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. 15. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger like Akpeteshi. But I am very discouraged and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, Papa. For I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. And the last verse. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Hallelujah. I want to draw your attention to the remarkable change that occurred in Hannah. Prior to this time, she was not eating, and she was crying, and she was very sad. But you will notice from here that something changed in her. Was it because now she had a child? No. But she had something, a prophetic word, if you like, from the priest, assuring her that God was going to visit her and grant her her request. And so her countenance changed and she became like a completely different woman. She believed God and she trusted that God was going to perfect that which concerned her. She trusted God and she believed that God was going to be good to her. And I want to say to all mothers that may God grant you the grace to trust him and to continue to believe in him. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, you can get to a certain place in life where you don't trust God anymore, where you don't believe God anymore. It can happen to you when you've waited for a very long time to see certain things manifest in your life. And you can get to that place where you conclude that a lot of the things that I was told are lies. It's not true. You may even tell yourself that God doesn't really like me. He doesn't love me. He cares about other people. He doesn't care about me. You may get to that place where you are very angry with God. Especially when you hear of people who have a lot of children and they are born in more. You know? Then you also read of women who give birth and go and dump them in the public latrine or at the rubbish dump. Every now and again we hear of such stories. We read about them. We see them on the news. And for you, the question that comes to mind is, Erade, Osha, Nyauye, Eye. The one who wants is not getting. The one who doesn't want is getting. Did you ever pray this prayer over your food? Oh God, some want, they don't get. Some get, they don't want. Then the next part, I want and I've gotten. I give thee thanks, oh Lord. Yeah, that's the reality of life. Okay? So you can get to that place. And I want to adjure all mothers, don't stop trusting God. Don't stop believing God. And by extension to anybody here who is believing God and trusting God for something, and that thing has delayed, and you don't see any sign that proves that God is about to do it in your life. Your wish is that, Eradin ka mami sign keke, mami sign be, and mami who say, you are at it. But no sign, no symptom, nothing at all. I'm saying to you today, may God grant you the grace to continue trusting in him and believing in him. Can I hear a loud amen? Amen. Number two, grace to nurture and to protect. Grace to nurture and to protect. Protect the child or the children that God has given to you. To nurture means to care for and to support, in this case, a child or children, helping them to grow, to develop, and to thrive. To nurture means to care for and to support the children, helping them to grow, to develop, and to thrive. And ladies and gentlemen, you may think that it comes easy, nurturing children and taking care of them. It doesn't come easy at all. You need grace. You need what?
Grace.
Yeah, you need grace. So in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, we read the story there of Moses and the birth of Moses. Now, Moses' father was called Amram, and his mother was called Jochebed. All right? You'll find that in, I think, Exodus chapter 6, where it reveals who his father and mother were. Now, Moses was born at a time when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, felt threatened by the rate of reproduction of the Israelites who were living amongst them. Through Joseph, the people of Israel ended up in Egypt and they sojourned there for 400 years. And over the 400 years, they became plenty. And Pharaoh felt that these guys, if I don't do something about their fertility and their productivity, they will override the land and they'll take over the whole space. So he gave an instruction to the midwives and to everybody that no Israelite or Jewish woman is allowed to have a son. So if you give birth to a boy, he must be killed and thrown into the river Nile. In those days, there was no scan to check what sex of child you have. So Jochebed, Moses' mother, gives birth to him. And when he comes out, she saw that he was a boy. She had a boy before, Moses' brother Aaron, and also had a girl, Miriam. Now her third born turned out to be a boy. Now look at verse 2. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby. I pray for all mothers. May God open your eyes to see that there's something special about that child that he's giving to you. All your children are not the same. And you will make a mistake if you treat them the same in that sense. Of course, you're supposed to love them and take care of them and show all of them love. But what I'm talking about here is something specific where God should open your eyes to see the uniqueness of every child that you have. And one thing that you should try to avoid is to use one of your children as the yardstick to measure and assess the others. They are all not the same. And if you don't understand this and recognize the uniqueness of each child that God has given to you, you will make a mistake in how you bring them up. Am I saying something that is helping somebody here? Yeah. So she kept him hidden for 3 months. For how long? 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what will happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister, Miriam, approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So she ended up being paid for taking care of her own child. Put your hands together for God's way of dealing with things. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. So in a certain sense, Moses had two mothers, his own biological mother and Pharaoh's daughter. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." So Moses' name was not given by his mother, it was given by Pharaoh's daughter. Very interesting. Hallelujah. Now, I want to point out to you that it took grace to be able to nurture, to take care of Moses and to protect him. If but for the grace of God and but for the decisions that Jochebed, Moses' mother, took, Moses' life would have been terminated. And the deliverer that God had destined for his people, that deliverer would not have come forth. There was a certain grace that was upon her. I mean, think about it. Can you imagine that in hiding Moses, then some of Pharaoh's soldiers will come around hear a baby crying and feel that the baby's cry sounds more masculine than feminine. Then he comes to check and see that it's a boy. They'll kill the child and probably kill Jochebed as well. It was a very dangerous thing. And it's not an easy thing to hide a child for 3 months. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a certain grace that was available to her. And through that grace, she was able to take care of the little boy for the period that she did. It took grace to take the tough decisions that she took. It was a tough decision to take your little vulnerable child, put him in a basket, and go and put him on the river. But I believe that every step of the way, her movements were guided by God, by the grace of God. How did she know that Pharaoh's daughter was going to bath there that day? How did she know that she will have compassion for the boy? How did she know that she would take a decision that the boy should come to her along the line? It was just the grace of God, God's divine assistance and guidance, which was at work every step of the way. And I pray for you, mothers. May God give you that grace to nurture and to protect the children that he has given to you. And I pray specifically concerning that grace that you need to take some of the tough decisions that you need to take for your children. Look, sometimes in bringing up your children, there are some very wild decisions that you have to take. As a mother, you may even have to look at yourself and realize that I'm a terrible mother. It is better if I send the boy to his grandmother. It's a tough decision. But it is that decision that will make sure that the child, your child, turns out well. And some of you, thank God that it was not your own biological mother who brought you up. Thank God. Thank God for your grandmother. Thank God for your auntie. And it was not a mistake. So concerning raising up of children, there are tough decisions that have to be taken. And if the grace of God is not with you, you cannot take those decisions. May that grace become your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's finish up. Number three, grace to lead with strength and wisdom. Grace to lead with strength and wisdom. Judges chapter 5 verse 7 is the scripture I gave to you. It says that there were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. Everybody was leaving town. What was happening? Moses was the one who led the people of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. And throughout their journey through the wilderness, he was the one with them. He died and Joshua took over. And Joshua was the one who crossed the Jordan River with them, took them to the land flowing with milk and honey, and fought and overcame all the people in the land. Then Joshua died. But after Joshua died, there was the absence of a certain kind of leader. And so the people went wild. They started serving the gods of the nations that had been destroyed, one reason being because of their idols. It doesn't make sense sometimes when you think about it. Because you can see that these nations were wiped out. And in virtually all the cases, everybody was killed. Everybody in the town was killed. Man, woman, boy, girl, child. Strict instruction from God. And the reason for that extermination of these nations was their idolatry and rejection of God. Then here you are. You are turned to these idols who caused the demise of the people. It doesn't make sense at a point. So they started worshiping all these idols and doing all kinds of crazy things. And God's anger was kindled against them. And God gave them up to their oppressors and to their enemies. Their oppressors and enemies will oppress them for a very long time. Very long time. Then they will cry out. They will repent. They will turn to God. And God will have compassion on them and send them a deliverer. And in those times, those deliverers were called judges. This was before Israel had kings. Now, at this particular time, Canaan was the nation oppressing the people of God. And their armies, the Canaanite armies, came up very strongly against the people of Israel. And for 20 years, they oppressed them. After 20 years, God raised Deborah, who was a prophetess. She became the judge in the land. And she led the people. I will have you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is an oddity for a woman to become a leader in their context and in their culture, in the Eastern culture. It's something that is not done. That is why if you look through the list of the judges of Israel, I stand to be corrected, Deborah was the only woman. And she was a very successful leader. So you can see the result of her leadership in just this one verse. There were few people left in the village of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. She arose as a mother, and she arose with strength and with wisdom and changed the situation. So then everybody started coming back. Because that's what that word until means. Till she took over, until she became the leader, the villages, the towns of Israel were deserted. But the situation changed because God raised a mother, and she exhibited strength and wisdom and turned a certain bad situation around. There was a certain grace that was upon her. Because remember, I said a few minutes ago that women were not made leaders. Which means that for her to become the leader and become a judge, God must have endowed her with a certain wisdom, with a certain strength, and with a certain grace. And I pray for all mothers. And I pray for all wives. And I pray for all mothers. And all women for that matter. May God grant you that grace to operate in wisdom and to operate with strength. You know, and I think I'm going to close with this. Time is up. I don't know whether I'll come back to it next week, but at least I've given you the points. Listen to me. And I want every woman, and especially the wives, to listen to me. I'm going to say something that may sound very controversial, but there's a reason why I'm saying it. You see, in a marriage setting, according to the instructions that we have in the Word of God, it is the man who is supposed to be the head of the home, correct? Is there any problem with that? No. So, your husband, Christy, your husband, I told you when we did the counseling that Kennedy is the leader and you're supposed to support him and stand by him. And there should be no argument about it. That's who he is. It is his God-given position. And you are equal before God. It's just that the assigned roles are different. But unfortunately, there are situations when the leadership skills of the man and of the husband are not very good. There are instances like that. And whenever, as a wife, you notice that under the leadership of this man that I am married to, the whole family can be totally destroyed. You got to believe God for wisdom and strength to maneuver. Because if you leave things the way they are, the family will never do well. The family will never prosper. Your conditions will never become better. And you will not see real progress and advancement in your life. And to operate in that wisdom and strength, you need grace. Because it's not an easy thing. Many men rise up and oppose any effort or attempt by their wives to, as it were, they feel that they are usurping my authority. And I cannot allow that. Many bear mano. That's why you need wisdom. And that wisdom and strength I'm talking about, it comes through the grace of God. And you need it. And if you don't rise up and trust God for that grace, it will not be well with your children. It will not be well with the family. I'm telling you. You've been married to him for years. There is no sign of a change in your conditions of living. And you know that a lot of money has passed through his hands. But there's very little to show for it. All you can see is that his stomach is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because that's all you see. The only advancement you see in his life is the increase in the length of his stomach. Beyond that, there is nothing. You have stayed in that same chamber and and hall. What can you say, and hall? You've stayed there for more than 50 years. And you two, you like burning. Five. And you are staying in that space, that hole, with all the children. And there's no sign of progress anywhere. Mama, I said, believe God for wisdom and strength to maneuver. Because sometimes the guy is deficient. He doesn't have what it takes. But you see, I'm stressing on the wisdom bit. Because if in taking certain steps you don't use wisdom, your marriage also can spoil. And I'm sure she'll not be upset with me for telling this story. One day, I spoke to a wife. I told her that you have a good husband. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. God has given you a good husband. But with the way things are going, if you don't take certain steps, you may easily end up with a big problem. Because what it was that the husband was involved in different businesses. He had good intentions, but the businesses were not working. And the situation was that the monies that were pumped into these businesses came from the wife. She had a good job and earned a respectable income plus other things. And so it's like when the money comes, no, it's like, bring it. I have this business, bring it. I say, he's a good man. As I know him personally. He's not a bad person. But he was deficient. And one day I told her, actually, you got to wise up. You got to wise up. I told her, the monies that come into your hands, do not just send everything to your beloved husband. Because at a point he relocated. Don't send everything to him. I said, believe God. Get land. Start building. Do it. And she listened to my counsel. And he didn't know that was what she was doing. Till he came back. And she said, darling, I want to go and show you something. Took him to the house that he had built. Said, hey, whose house is this? I'm sure she was wise enough to say, it's for us. Because if you had said, it is for me. It is for us. This is our house. He said, how? It's not possible. Where did you get money from? Why didn't you tell me about it? He was trying to freak out. And then later on, he realized that, Charlie, God has blessed me with a very wise wife. And then, like a typical man, his thing started to come. Like, now he wanted to be the boss, taking over. Let's do this year. And all of that. Amen, ma. Any year, ego, yeah. Fantastic. And as time went on, it became clear that decision that she took was a very wise decision. Because something happened. And if it wasn't for this thing that she did, the whole life, that her family would have been destroyed completely. And that's what I'm saying to you. I think that somebody here, this is all that God wanted you to hear. Look, sometimes you are married with a man who taflache is a tobele. But you're supposed to love him. Honor him. And respect your TB. Do you see? Don't disrespect him. Oh. But you saw and you went to take. So who are you blaming for that? It came. It's a whole arrangement. But listen. If that is the situation that you have, I'm saying to you, believe God for the grace to operate with wisdom and to operate in strength. And I'm stressing again, that thing, it takes grace. Oh, because if you don't handle it well and your moves are not correct, you'll be divorced. And the thing is that you love him too. You love your TB like that. Love is such a beautiful thing. Yes. You love him like that. Oh no, my when you J. And he has strong points. He has good points. But I'm saying you need grace to maneuver if you are confronted with a situation like that. Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet and close, ladies and gentlemen? God bless you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I've taken a bit of your time. Please bear with me. It's a special day. But as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray with you today. Somebody invited you to church, yes? You may be watching us, but you don't really know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we talk about being born again, you know deep inside you that you are not. But there's a need for you to take this most important decision of your life. And it has to do with your eternal destination. If you exit this world, where are you going to end up? Heaven? Hell? The only way to guarantee that you will end up in heaven is if you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and embrace his sacrifice of love as he gave his life and he gave his all so to pay the price for your sins and mine. Today you have an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you are here and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Or you may be watching. You may be watching. And right there in your room, God can see you, even though I can't see you. Right there, you can lift up your hand as I pray with you. God bless you. Now, can we say this prayer together and pray this prayer in faith, believing with all our hearts? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve him and I will follow him. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. Grant me your Holy Spirit and help me to serve you well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.